Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. We are so glad you're here, and have we got a show for you.
Yeah, every week we try to have another program. We're probably going to use this opening for several of them because, Susie, sometimes we're not in the same neighborhood for a couple of months at a time.
You're a Texan, I'm an Okie.
Well, I'm sorry. I love living here.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy Cowboy Church.
I like you guys already. Here's a testimony song of mine that talks about how this old cowboy found myself broken. And thank God I did, because he pulled me out of the ditch I found myself in. Listen here.
Like a wild stallion that busts through the gate, kicking and stomping everything in his way, out of control, I was that man. So much for fences, they weren't gonna hold me. I dealt with the pain and outran the misery, so far from the truth that lied within. Then he saved me, I was down on my knees and he held me. But I cried out, please, he had mercy on even a sin. Down on my knees and he held me.
the person next to you and give them a big old hello, would you? Get to know them this morning. You may want to go eat lunch with them. Welcome to this fountain so rich and sweet. Can't stop for soul at the Savior's feet. And plunge into death and be made complete. Well, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Well, fair to my heart was the blood of fire. And glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. And glory to His name. Well, fair to my heart was the blood of fire. And glory.
These three witnesses, I was reading in 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, and it has these words. It says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, or the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us today to be enlightened. God, I pray that your revelation of your word would hit our hearts and help us to understand how things work and how they function. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this and you have this little inquiry. What all does that mean? I understand Father, Son, and Holy Spirit kind of in concept, that God's the Father, Jesus is the Son of God, his nickname is the Word, and the other one is the Holy Spirit. But then I looked at this, those are the three that agree in heaven. And then I looked, and there's a common denominator with the ones who agree in heaven and the ones who agree on earth and in heaven. And the common denominator is the Spirit. Look on this. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, just so you can catch the concepts as we're going into it. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we understand. The water is, this is given in chronological order as it was set up in the Word of God. The chronological order of Jesus was, he didn't have to get saved because he was the Son of God already, but he went through baptism. Baptism is about the water. Now, I'm going to give you the symbolism behind the water, the blood, and the Spirit. The symbolism behind it, the water has to do with cleansing. Water always has to do with cleansing. The blood has to do with the cross and what it does in salvation, that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and without it, nothing else worked. And then, of course, the Spirit is not only the third person of the Trinity, but in the working of the earth, he is the one that Jesus sent to, he says, unless I go, I can't send the Comforter. And if we divide all age up, into three categories, and there's more than that. But the first category of the Old Testament until Jesus was born, or until Jesus died on the cross, that is an area where we see the Father part of the Godhead, and that's prevalent. The Father sees things in black and white. He's the decision maker, and we see all of that, the law, the legal system, and all of that. We see the heart of God as being the black and white thinker of, now he thinks beyond that, but that's his decision mode. The second one is Jesus Christ, and Jesus represented the love that the Father had for us, and he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And when he died on the cross, while Jesus was on earth, it was about Jesus' ministry. So there was God the Father until Jesus, and then there was Jesus until until just after the resurrection when he ascended into heaven. That's the Jesus time. And then when he went to heaven, what he said is, I want you to go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And so we live in an age that is known the dispensation or time frame of grace. And this grace is functioning this way. When Jesus was on earth, everything he didn't do because he was God. He did because he was listening and operating to the Holy Spirit. He was giving us the example of how things are supposed to work with us here. That's why Jesus could say, when he was about to be taken, he says, greater things than this shall you do. Because we can begin to operate and function through the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in such a manner where the miraculous begin to happen. He did that as a human, from a human standpoint, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it because he was Jesus, the Son of God. He did it because as Jesus, being mankind, he operated as a man under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So now, he says, now I'm going to send you the Comforter, and you've seen how it works. This is how it functions. And if you will tap into him, you will get it. So the entire function of our spiritual existence has to do with three areas that function. Number one is when you are born again, you utilize the blood. The blood is what cleanses us and allows us. The Bible calls it being born again. It's awfully hard to utilize the water until you've been born. You've got nothing to wash. So when you're born again by the Spirit of God, then the water of baptism is then able to wash you. And then the power of the Holy Spirit is what gives you the ability to continue. And hopefully that's kind of a clarification on how it works. So we get saved, and when we get saved, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. We're set up, we're born again, we're established as a child of God, and then we begin to live out this existence. Then we get into the baptism end of this. And baptism that we get to do is symbolic. And what it symbolizes, and there's this overlapping that within each one of these three, there's areas in this three that have all of the three inside of it. So in the baptism, what you see is the dying out to sin, is the death on the cross, us dying out to sin, and we need to die. And Paul says, I die daily. And that what we're doing in dying is our old carnal, sinful nature. I don't know if you still have any of it left in you. Excuse me, I know you do. That's sarcasm, in case you missed it. We all, as long as we're alive on earth, we have carnal, sinful nature that wants to operate, but you have a choice on how you can help him to operate or not operate. You can say yes to him, or you can say yes to Jesus. By saying yes to Jesus, you and Jesus together are saying no to your carnal nature. So the death is dying out to sin, raised forth into new life. It shows what the blood does, but it's a baptism. And then the water is the cleansing. So basically, the water, the word for the water, is sanctification. The word for the blood is salvation. Salvation, sanctification, and then the Spirit has to do with living it out. So sanctification, this is the process so you understand sanctification. It starts when you get saved, not before. It starts when you get saved, and it cleanses continually until you leave. Now, I'd notice a few things, and what I've noticed, I know there's some odd things that I noticed, but I noticed that all of you look that you've probably had a shower and got cleaned up within a week of coming to this service. Most of you got cleaned up this morning, because what we do is we continually do that. I made a kind of a humorous analogy. I said, when we were rodeoing, I hated to take showers in other people's showers because they always had their own combination lock on them. You know, they had the stick shift models, the two, you know, just, it, and the dial of prayers, or just, they just had all of the different deals, and I couldn't figure that out. So I told Anna one time in our life, I said, I'm going to quit showering. I'm gonna quit involving myself in sweating activities so I can do without showers. Well, I did for about 3 days. And then I couldn't stand it anymore. Somebody asked me this morning, they said, tell me about the beard. And I said, well, I went for about a week without shaving. I started getting compliments, and now I can't go back. But the showering, the water, represents living out this deal. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. What he's talking about is a continual sanctification of who we are. Beginning to think like God and operate like God and operate the way God wants us to live. And then after that, through the Holy Spirit, we work out our own salvation with the water, with the Spirit. We become the people God wants us to be. So it's in within. And so I was thinking about this, and I come on to a little thought last night while I was doing chores, and I had gone to a roping, and I did really bad at the roping. Just there was just all kinds of stuff going on. But one of the things that I built some new reins for my bridle that I had on my horse, and they were thick. They were too thick, and I was. You know, you have a certain feel that you want, and they were just awkward, and they're distracting. You know, and I did those reins, and I was thinking about those reins, and I just, in my mind, I started going over these reins, and I was thinking, rein, R-E-I-G-N, rein, no, rein, R-A-I-N, yeah, rein, R-E-I-N. And I thought, hey, wait a minute. There's a whole message in this. And I started kind of going over how, well, let me just tell you where I went and why it even, this is so abstract. I thought this is a whole different message. And I went in and started putting some stuff to it. And then this morning I realized this is the definition of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. It just doubles right over.
When I was a little girl, I was very blessed to be able to go to her house and spend time. This is a song about the time I got to spend with her, and oh, what an influence she had on my life. That rusty yellow school bus came to pick us up each day, took my sister off to school, dropped me at your house to play. I'd seen you waving from the porch down that old dusty drive, and I'd run as fast as I could to your side. You taught me how to garden, and then you'd let me help you cook. That gentle smile was always there, and on your face that special look. And you'd tell me about Jesus, how he lived inside of you. You know I never doubted what you said was true. When I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter,
It was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. And while we cleaned up in the kitchen, you'd be a humming some old hymn. Then you'd open up your Bible and read to me about your friend. But more than songs and stories, it was what I saw in you. I watched the love of God as it came shining through. 'Cause I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter. It was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. Oh, my friend, you just don't know how the influence can go, and they'll see that same reflection of him and his perfection. The miracle in you that I could see. When I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter, it was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. Whoa, I saw him in your eyes.
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. We rely on your gifts. This doesn't come to me. It doesn't come to Russ. It comes to us making these shows weekly. We don't have big support. We don't have big sponsors. You don't see any big commercials on these shows. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.